sounded like everyone was having some really good discussion this morning, and I'm super excited to dig in with you guys. But I want to answer a question that came up at my table, and I know probably came up again this week at some of your tables, is what's the difference between R and O? So I want to focus this week, this morning, I guess, on talking about R, which we all know stands for read. And then next week, Karen's going to kind of take us through what O looks like, so you guys can start to see the difference there. For R, really all that you're doing is taking, I printed off my verses this week, taking and marking what words, phrases, or verses jumped out at you as you're studying, and then transcribing those to the journal, and that's it. It's super simple. That's your first step. I like to sometimes play an audio while I'm reading along because it seems that I can connect the dots a little bit better if I'm hearing someone else read, especially if it's a tricky passage. And then also a tip and trick that we talked about at our table as well is looking at different versions of that verse. And so I can pull up my Bible app and see a bunch of different translations, and I'll pick a couple, read through, and that way you just get a better picture of what these verses are supposed to be saying to you. And that is super helpful when you have a tricky section like the Beatitudes. And we're going to come back. We're going to camp both the morning and the Beatitudes because that is where I felt like I learned the most from this section of Scripture. And so I just want to take day one, two, and three and show you what read looked like for me. So day one, I circled the word blessed, probably because it appeared, was it like 9 times in those first 12 verses? And then the next time I read through it, I underlined each of the Beatitudes. So poor in spirit, mourn, meek, etc. And then the third time I read through it, I marked all the promises that followed. And that's not normal. And your guys' day might not look like that. That's a lot to mark for one day. But those were just things that as I read through, they were all getting pulled out of how they're connected, how they work together, the bigger picture that it's painting. And that's why I want to camp there a little bit later. But I want to show you on day two, I just underlined 2 phrases and a couple of words. So I underlined, you are the salt of the earth, and I underlined, you are the light of the world. And then I circled the word light in verses 15 and 16. So it can really be as simple as that. And all I was seeing in that day was what Jesus is teaching us about who we are. So we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. On day three, I underlined 2 verses. So again, a little bit different than the last 2 days. I underlined it was the first verse and the last verse of that section. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I underlined those 2 verses because I love that Jesus is introducing himself as true righteousness. And that even better, he is inviting us to partake in that true righteousness through him. So we're going to end on that note, but I want to jump back to the Beatitudes and camp there, like I said, for the majority of our morning. So remember, I circled the word blessed. And as I was studying, I found that blessed is best translated into the word happy. So what do you think of when you think of the word happy? So Jesus isn't talking about a joy that comes from our circumstances or from our life or from ourselves. He's talking about a fullness of joy that comes from God and is dependent on God alone. There's nothing we can do to earn it, nothing we can do to lose it. And then, let's see. So if we look, so that's the word blessed, and then we look at the Beatitudes that follow each of those. I realized that I came into this having a lot of misconceptions about what these Beatitudes say and what they mean, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. So have you ever said something like, it's just not in my personality to be meek, or I'm too stubborn to be a peacekeeper? No one else? Just me? Pretty sure I said those exact phrases to my mom growing up, which just shows how much I didn't understand about this section of Scripture. So what I've learned recently, and this is one of the biggest takeaways is that the Beatitudes are not a list of personality traits that we have to strive for. Instead, they are a complete picture of who we are in Christ. And this is really important, so I'm going to say it again. The Beatitudes are not a list of personality traits, nor are they a list of qualities that we have to strive for, that are unattainable, that we have to work for each day. Instead, they are a list of characteristics that are already true of you if you are a Christ follower. As I was studying, I also began to see that these Beatitudes are listed in the order they are for a very specific reason. They work together, they build on one another, and they help to make that picture of who we are in Christ a little bit more clear. So we're going to walk through that in just a minute, but I wanted to break down these into four sections for you. And I'm hoping that as we talk more about the Beatitudes, as we talk about the patterns we're seeing and the way they work together, that it's going to be easier for you guys to memorize. So it's not just words on a page, but you actually have an idea of what it is that Jesus is teaching here. So the pattern that I saw is that Beatitudes 1 through 3, that section we memorized for this morning, is talking about our personal life. Beatitude number 4 is talking about how we relate to Christ. 5 through 7 deals with how we relate to others, and that last Beatitude deals with how others relate to us. Okay. So now I want to take a more in-depth look at each of those Beatitudes to help us understand how they all fit together and make that picture that I was talking about. So we're going to start with poor in spirit. Remember, we can translate this into happy are those who are poor in spirit, or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say that out loud and it still seems a little counterintuitive. I don't know. So what does poor in spirit really mean? Poor in spirit means that we recognize we have no ability of our own to produce a righteousness of our own. We are spiritually bankrupt. And that's where they come with the word poor. So if we were to reword this whole beatitude, or if I was to, it would sound like, happy are those who recognize they have no righteousness of their own, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's where we all need to start. Next, what do you think of when you think of the word mourn or mourning? So Jesus isn't talking about a sadness over our life circumstances or loss. He is talking about mourning the depth and feeling the weight of the sin in our lives. So if we were to reword this beatitude to help us understand it a little bit better, it would sound like, happy are those whose hearts break over their sin, for they shall be comforted. What a great promise. What a great promise. So moving on. Like I said earlier, meek, this next beatitude, is one that I misunderstood for a really long time. Have you guys ever translated meek in this section to mean timid or weak? Yeah. That's not what Jesus is actually saying. So the best definition of meek that I have found is strength under control. And that still seems kind of hard to grasp, and so I want to show you guys an example. Jesus is the perfect example of meekness. So he is all powerful. I mean, he is fully God. And yet, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to God the Father, not mine, but thy will be done. He submits himself to God's perfect plan. Strength under control. So let's reword this beatitude. Happy are those who submit themselves to God and trust his plan, for they shall inherit the earth. So that wraps up the three beatitudes that we studied or memorized for this morning. Are you guys starting to see that picture of how they fit together? Is it becoming a little bit more clear? All right. Let's go on to number 4 here. And remember, this is how we relate to Christ. So we're going to look at hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because of our ability to see ourselves as unrighteous, so remember that's our poor in spirit, we seek after the righteousness of Christ for ourselves and for the world around us. And that is true righteousness. True righteousness is only found in Christ. Happy are those who long for and seek the righteousness of Christ, for they shall be satisfied. Once again, what an amazing promise. Now we're going to switch gears to how we relate to others, starting with merciful. This one makes sense to me the way that it's written. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. But I want to be clear here. We do not show mercy to earn mercy. We show mercy because we have received mercy. We model the mercy that Jesus gave us by dying on the cross for our sins and forgiving us. And we want to share that mercy and forgiveness with those around us, in close relationship and just the world around us. So pure in heart is talking about a moral cleanliness. The best way is the word picture that I have, I guess, is if we have a singular focus on Christ and we are full of Christ, there's no corruption that is going to be allowed to seep in because we're already saturated with Christ. So pure in heart. So if we reworded this beatitude, it would sound something like, happy are those who are filled with Christ and not the world, for they shall see God. The next beatitude is talking about peacemakers. And this one, again, is also misinterpreted. It's not talking about a personality trait. It's not talking about the Enneagram 9s. You know who you are. That's my husband. It is talking, though, about having and reflecting the peace of Christ. So happy are those who reflect the inner peace that God has given them, for they shall be called sons of God. And we're going to wrap up with this last one here. Finally, because we are reflecting Christ's character, we can expect that the world is going to respond to us the same way that it responded to Jesus. So happy are those who are persecuted for looking like Jesus, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm hoping that you guys are seeing that big picture now of how these all work together, how they build on one another, and hopefully now as you're memorizing, you can see that word picture and know which one comes next and how they're connected. And that as you have come out on the other side with this section memorized, that you'll have a better understanding of who we are in Christ. So on day one, I walked away with the bottom line being, as Christians, our lives are going to look radically different than the world around us because our lives have been changed. And what we value is not the same as what the world values. So moving on to day two. Did you guys catch that this section of salt and light is actually the application point of the Beatitudes? And so what we've learned is that because these things, because the Beatitudes are true of you, because they are, if you're a Christ follower, you will make an impact on the world around you for the kingdom of God. So, in quick summary, let your life reflect who you are. I wish we had more time to dig into this and the other couple of days, but I know that we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that we talk about some more specific applications that you can take home. So, if we think back to the Beatitudes, we see that it is full of truth of who we are, and it is full of promises that God has given us. And as women, we have been transformed by Jesus to have those truths be a part of who we are. So which beatitude do you need to remind yourself is true of you? Merciful, meek, peacekeeper, one of the other ones? Do you need to extend forgiveness the way that Christ has forgiven you? Do you need to stop trying to change your circumstances by your own strength and instead yield yourself to God's plan and trust him? Do you need to practice reflecting that peace that Christ gave you? Now think back. At the beginning, I said the Beatitudes are not a list of things that you need to strive for, nor are they unattainable. But hear me when I say, you cannot produce these qualities in yourself. You are only transformed by Christ, and only when you submit yourself to him. Like in 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ladies, I want you to walk away from this morning remembering what is true of you. But more importantly, I want you to remember that it is only through Jesus that we can be transformed. He is the true righteousness. And we see that on day 3 when we study about Jesus being the fulfillment of the law. So what are we going to do to be transformed by Jesus today, this week, this month? So being here is a great start, being in community, discussing God's word. Another is continuing to the habit of spending time in the word daily, and that's why we're practicing ROAD. And finally, time in prayer, asking God to renew you. So I want to leave you with this bottom line. When you are in a genuine relationship with Christ, your life will be transformed, and you will stand in stark contrast to the world around you.